Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan.
Hey, it's Odie Strahan, and I'm having one of the most amazing days of my life. Hopefully you are too. Let's get this show started. What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan. Guys, we are in for a treat. Really fired up about today's episode. This young gentleman was a two-time section champ from Grant High School who just wrapped up his high school career. He also played for one of the top AAU programs in the nation, with the Compton Magic, which we're going to get into. He's now a freshman, just started his freshman year on a full-ride scholarship at Bethune-Cookman, one of the top HBCUs out in the country. I literally got so much stuff to talk about with this young fella. I just want to, bring him on and get going. Jason Matthews, are you out there?
I'm here. Hello, everyone. Let's get to it.
How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Man, like I said, I'm off to a great start, having one of the most amazing days of my life. Obviously excited to have you on the pod and, want to get right into it, man. So let me ask you, man, growing up, what other sports did you play other than basketball?
Growing up, I have played football, and then I tried a year of baseball. So the first sport I ever played actually was football, though. I played football before I played basketball.
Let me ask you, what position did you play in football?
I played all positions. I played running back. I played quarterback before. I played receiver. I played cornerback, kick return. I played like all positions, honestly, all skill positions.
Man, they had you all over. They had you. I could definitely see that with your athleticism, where you would be able to, flourish at each position. Let me ask you this. That being said, you tried baseball. You alluded to you played football. When did you realize that hoop was the sport that you were going to pursue?
I played football all the way up till freshman year of high school. Actually, after my freshman year of high school, I stopped playing, and then I was like, I just want to lock in on basketball, and I knew I could. I could play basketball all year, kind of with high school and AAU. I knew I could play basketball all year. So I was like, I'm just ready to lock in after freshman year.
Got it. Let me ask you this. Growing up, when I say growing up, I'm talking about like literally when you're younger. Who were some of the players that you modeled your game after? And it doesn't necessarily have to be like NBA players or college players. It could be even someone, locally, those, top high school player around or whatever it may be. Who were some players that you modeled your game after when you were younger?
When I was younger, I had probably wanted to play like Trayshawn Smoot. I had been in the gym with him a lot, and I just thought like he was super good, of course. So I had really wanted to be like him, and he went to Grant, because kind of growing up, like I was always, that's where I'm from, Del Paso Heights. So I was always at Grant like all the time. So I would see him the most. So that's probably one of the people I looked up to first. But I always looked up to like Chris Paul, stuff like that. But if we're talking about like high school, I would say Trayshawn.
That's funny you mentioned that, because we'll talk about it later. But for everybody that's seen you play, you have a game that's actually very similar to CP3. You play like Chris Paul, definitely. one person that could control the game, control pretty much the pace of the game and how the game goes, even without scoring. So that's pretty ironic. That's one person that you modeled your game after. I know you started playing AAU ball at an early age. I always joke around with my guests here talking about, there's a 3U and 4U, the mm-hmm. AAU starts at a young age, but you're another example of someone that started AAU, really young. Talk to me about literally that first experience. We're not going to get into, Compton Magic yet, but talk to me about that very first experience with your first AAU team, and at what age was that?
Before I started playing AAU, I played like Hot Shots at like 5 years old. And then I played AAU maybe like 8. So I had played with 916 Select. And that was, one of the greatest experiences ever. I have a lot of lifelong friends from that. I played with Jared McCain. I played with Devin Askew, Frankie Collins, Will McClendon. I played with a lot of no names. And all those guys are people who I still talk to this day. So that was a really good experience for me, getting started in basketball.
Absolutely. That's a loaded team. If y'all don't understand it, Devin Askew is a former five-star who I believe is at Texas. No, he just transferred over to – where is he at right now? He transferred again, I believe, right?
I think he's at Cal right now. Cal.
Yeah, he's at Cal, correct. Kentucky, Texas, now at Cal. We have Jared's off to Duke, no big deal, right? We had my guy, Will McClendon, not on once but twice on the Straight Talk with Straight Hand podcast. Shout out, Will, who was originally here from the 916 that did his thing at Bishop Gorman is at UCLA. No big deal. Once again, right? And I don't want to miss out that one. Did I catch everybody you play with? Was there one
more name? I said Frankie. It's way more people, yeah. But I also mentioned Frankie Collins.
Yeah, shout out Frankie Collins. No big deal, obviously, from 916 as well. Did his thing in Vegas before off to college as well. So that's a loaded team, bro. Did you guys ever lose a game? Sheesh.
I mean, we weren't all on the same team, of course, because we were in different grades, but just being in the same program,
that's right, that's true.
A grade above, a grade under, we still had a pretty close bond.
I can only imagine some of those battles, though, you know, early on, you know, playing with that's kind of wild if you think about it, when you guys go back and you guys, you know, reminisce on I guess you guys are still young, but younger days when you guys, you know, what you guys were able to, you know, obviously you know, turn your dreams and turn them to fruition and, you know, obviously play at the next level, which is, you know, which is awesome. So overall that experience, even at, I guess, I believe 7-8 years old, did you do much traveling on that team?
Yeah, we traveled a lot. I went to Memphis for nationals. We went to Orlando, New Orleans, everywhere. We traveled a lot at an early age.
No, that's awesome, man. So early exposure to the travel. I always like to ask that because I get a little bit of both. I get some players that actually didn't catch on AAU till late, you know, a few that only played a couple seasons. Then I got, you know, individuals like yourself that started very early on. Well, yeah. Listen, along with the early success, you also had to overcome adversity pretty early on, which is, you know, which is always one of the biggest tests. You know, it's the test before the testimony, of course. And so I know you had to deal with some injuries that you had to, you know, to get overcome to prevent you from playing, and that actually kept you off the court and off the field for a pretty lengthy time. Talk to me about a couple of those injuries that, you know, like I said, that took you off the court and how you were able to, you know, not only maintain your confidence, but your belief during that time, especially you being a young man at that time.
Yeah. So some of the injuries I had, broke my wrist probably like at 11 years old. Playing football, I had broke my wrist. Then I recovered, and then I broke my wrist again in a basketball game. Like, taking a charge, I had fractured my wrist. So this was kind of like, I guess you could say, like, within like 3 to 6 months after I was healed, I had broke my wrist again. So I was kind of, when I broke it the second time, I kind of knew how to handle it, you know, because I had already been through it, so. My mom had me actually working out while I had my wrist broke. So I was working out with my cast on. So you could say I was dedicated. I was working out with my cast on with one arm all the way until I got my cast taken off. But my big injury was when I broke my femur. I broke my femur probably like 7th grade. And I had to sit out. I sat out like half of the school year, half of my middle school year. And then when I healed, I went straight into our middle school basketball season. Like, I got cleared by the doctor, and I think they didn't have the first game yet. I came back like the day before the first game and started. Like, did the tryouts in one day and then came back and started. So I think my mom really is what kind of kept me confident, because she was telling me like, you know, some people have different trials and some people have a different paths, but all of this will be worth it. You know, success is nothing without pain. Like, you know, people say no pain, no gain. So I just feel like that was a part of my story. And that was the reason why I wanted to succeed. I wanted to make sure that I could do everything in my possibility, to succeed. I didn't want to hold myself back. So after those injuries, I just would say I took sports more serious. I would definitely say I took it even more serious now, because I felt like during the time I had lost it, I was like, wow, like I could see how fast basketball or football at the time could be taken away. So when I got it back, I was just like, this is kind of everything to me. So I think it just taught me a good lesson.
No, absolutely. I think what happens when you have injuries like that, it really, or anytime the game's taken away from you, it kind of shows you show yourself how much it means to you, right? Like you just alluded to. So the fact that at that point you probably realize, you know, how much of a passion it is. I could, you know, I have a son that plays. He just started his sophomore year, but he had a going into his seventh grade year, he had a very, it was at the time, it was like the most tragic thing to him. He actually broke his wrist a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks before, you know, the tryouts, what have you. But he had a cast on. Okay. He had a cast on for literally 21 days. As you were telling that story, it kind of, I visualized him. He had the cast on for 21 days. I literally have a video up. I know that I had a video I had posted. He literally has his cast on, shooting around. It was, you know, he's right-handed. It was on his left hand, but kind of like you. He was, the doctor told him not to do anything, but he was still playing with it. And actually, 22 days later, he actually showed up to the first day of seventh grade tryouts with the cast on. Coach let him, you know, do the non-contact drills, what have you. The next day, got the cast removed, and 30 minutes after he got the cast removed, went to second day of the tryouts and act like nothing happened, you know? So, but even in that short time, I think he was able to see how much the game of basketball, you know, meant to him, because it was taken away from him. So as you were telling that story just now, it kind of resonated, you know, because I was able to see what you're talking about with my son. But no, especially, you know, with the injuries that keep you off, you know, for a lengthy time. I mean, the rest is one thing, but I think it just shows perseverance, because a lot of people don't come back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And it's always nice to have, you know, a nice support group. A shout out to mom, who, you know, I've, you know, when I went to, as you know, you played Laguna a couple of times, so I was able to see you in person. Definitely those couple. Actually, I came to more than a few Grant games, but your mom was definitely present. let's let it, that, you know, that's for sure. You knew she was in the building, and it's a beautiful thing to see the bond that you two have. And it's always nice to obviously have that, you know, have that rock, have that someone that you know that's always going to be your forever number one fan, your number one supporter to push you along the way.
Definitely.
Let me ask you this. I know you moved to Hawaii for a couple of years before, you know, during the middle school years before high school. Talk to me about that experience in Hawaii, number one. And then also what brought you back to California and Sacramento specifically for your high school years?
Okay, so moving to Hawaii was definitely different. We had went on a vacation before we had moved. And I mean, of course it was nice, you know, vacation, you go to the beach, you don't have school, so you'll enjoy it. But moving was just different. At first, I don't think I was on a AAU team in Hawaii. So in Hawaii, I was really just playing basketball at recess. Okay, I was playing basketball at recess, actually. And one of my friends who was playing with me was like, you should come out to this thing called like a PAL league, right? So this was kind of like, they had teams from each area and they would go together and they would play at this gym. So I told my mom and she was like, okay, we'll see. So I went to the game. And this was like my first game playing with them. And then I had like 30 points. And there's a coach, a high school coach from a private school out there. And he was like, you should come to our school and play. And we have an AAU team. So just off of that, I wasn't even playing. And then I listened to my friend played in this little, you could say rec league, really. And after the season, I had transferred to the private school. So with the private school there, they had everyone who was kind of like transferred over there, you had to get reclassed. So, I mean, I got reclassed there. And then I played like my whole eighth grade year on varsity, but I wasn't like playing in their real games because I was transferred. So I had to play in like this other little league, but I was playing varsity in like eighth grade out there. So, I mean, it was cool once that happened, but the first couple months was like really hard on me because I was 3 hours behind. All my friends were 3 hours ahead. I was moving to a new school kind of late, you know, moving to a new school in eighth grade is definitely late. So it was a big adjustment, but I think that change kind of helped me where I am now. kind of just having to move and kind of be on my own, I think that kind of helped me. And it also, it made me and my family even closer, honestly. Because out there, we kind of, all we had was each other. So I think that really, like, brought my bond in with my family. But now, looking back, I'm thankful for the experience. And I really want to, like, go back and visit, see everyone. Because I haven't been back for a long time. You know, I finished high school, and I still haven't went back. So I definitely want to go back and visit. But I think it was an experience that was just meant for me. Some people maybe would have left earlier, but I think going through the experience and now looking back, I'm happy my parents chose to do that.
Absolutely. I think things always happen for a reason. It's all part of the journey, right? I think without Hawaii, you probably wouldn't have been the player or even the person that you are right now.
Definitely. I definitely think that it really made me just kind of look at stuff different, like look how blessed people are in California. Like in Hawaii is way different. Not saying like people are poor or anything, but just like the basketball, like the exposure. Like I was training with the two-time state player of the year, and he didn't even get an offer from the University of Hawaii. So, I mean, to play in California is like super blessed to have all the exposure and stuff. Yeah. That's super blessed.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So I know you were exploring a few schools when you guys decided to, you know, come back to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I know a few private schools such as Jesuit Capital, I believe Capital Christian. But you ultimately, what ultimately led you to, you know, to choose Grant as your high school, even though talking to you now, I kind of get the feel you literally are the epitome of Pacers for life. Like you're a Pacer for life since it sounds like you're younger. But was that an easy choice for you to come back home?
Yeah, like you said, like the Pacer for life stuff. I had been playing football for Grant since I was like 7, but I had always kind of knew I wanted to play for Grant, but like you said, I had kind of been looking at other schools like Capital, Jesuit, just kind of to see what was best for me. But I think what ultimately led me to Grant was I had went to the section championship a year before my freshman year, actually. So I think that might have been 2018. And I had went to the section championship when they played at UOP and they had lost to St. Mary's. So just seeing all my friends at Grant, and seeing like how bad they took the loss, it was like, you know, I want to go there and I want us to win it. I want our whole community to be proud. You know, everyone already kind of knows me. So I want to go there and I want to do something big. I want to win it. And I mean, it happened to be one of the best decisions I've made so far. So I'm happy I chose Grant, even though that was always fun.
Gotcha, man. No, absolutely, man. You were added to the list of obviously great, phenomenal athletes, basketball players, and I think more importantly, scholar athlete. In your case, you know that you were able to show, you'll give people an example of being dominant on and off the court. You know, before definitely. We get into that high school career, which definitely congrats on, and that great run you had, including the two section titles, I want to get into your time and your run with Compton Magic, because I don't think this was spoken enough of when it comes to, you know, your success, you know, and you know, their contribution, you know, to your success as a player, mm-hmm. you know, one of the top programs in the nation. Talk to me about, first of all, you know, this is straight talk now. How did that opportunity come about? Because, you know, top program, not, you know, talent all over the place. How did that whole opportunity come about for you to even get on that team?
Well, my teammate had already played with Compton Magic, Jordan Bobo. So he already played with Compton Magic. And they had a tryout, and I had already knew Coach Justin. Like, I was already kind of cool with him, and he knew I could play. And then Coach Denard. So they basically told me, like, you could just come out and try out and see how it is. If we like you, we'll keep you. If not, then, I mean, you look other places, of course. So we went to the tryout, and I think it was like an okay trial for me, at least, because, you know, they already kind of had people that they knew. So not saying that they were showing favoritism, but they just already had their guys. So they had told me that they liked me though. So I was like, okay, well, that's good. Like maybe I could come in and be like a sixth, seventh man. Like maybe that's what I can do. So the next weekend we ended up playing. And I remember I was playing with Jordan and our team only had six players. And so our team had six players and I think a person got hurt. So we ended up only having five. So then I ended up playing the whole game and I played the whole weekend and I had a really good weekend. And then once the tournament was over, they had texted me like, you're a captain on our team now. You're our starting point guard. So, I mean, things kind of changed super fast. And I wasn't going to say I was surprised, but I was just thankful for the opportunity. Because it was kind of like I just took the opportunity and ran with it. So I played with them my whole junior year spring. And then when the summer came, I played with the 17U team. And that was kind of the same thing. They were just like, well, we need you to play with us. So I had, I remember I had got on a flight to LA and we stayed at Tope's house. And then from Tope's house, we drove to Arizona, had a team camp in Arizona. And then from Arizona, drove to Utah and did another little team camp. So I came home on 4th of July. And then I think we played the next weekend. So my summer, I was kind of gone, but it was definitely like one of the best experiences. One of the best experiences of my life, just being around that type of culture, those type of people, you know, people who all are really looking out for you, all want the best for you. So, I mean, I still talk to all the coaches today. I talk to all the players today. It's really like a big brotherhood. So I'm really thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for just even getting the chance, honestly, because like you said, like hearing Compton Magic is like, wow. I was even thinking that like, wow, like I really could say I play for Compton Magic and I really play. I even play with them this spring before I came out here and it was still a good experience. You know, everyone was showing me love. Everyone always talks to my mom, asks how my mom is doing, checks on my family. So I'm really thankful for that experience.
You know what I love about everything I just heard right now, Jay, is the fact that you went there, you were humble enough. Obviously you were one of the top players pretty much every stop you've been at, you know, one of the top players, definitely starter. You probably never came off the bench, but the fact that you were humble enough, knowing that the program that you're going to try out for, knowing the type of, you know, talent that you're going to play with, but then again, having confidence in yourself, but you were humble enough to, hey, let me get on, even if it's a sixth man, second man off the bench, right? Humble enough to do that, but also know that obviously in time you'd be able to show what you could do, right? But well, what I also like though, what I heard, Jay, is that, you know, if you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready, right? So that being said, you ready, we're prepared. It's not like you're joining saying, hey, I'm gonna sit back and just, you know, be a role player. You just knew that might be what it was gonna be at start. What I'm trying to get at is this. When that opportunity arose and presented itself, you were ready. And that weekend, you only had five. Well, shoot, at that point, they had no choice but to play you the whole time. Even if they had the six before the injury, that's a short rotation. You would have got definitely a lot of burn. And then from there, you went from, hey, I want to be 6'7", man. Let me be humble enough. And then I'll show them what I could do in time to, you know, balling out, killing all weekend. And now a couple weeks later, they're saying you're team captain. So I want to make sure people catch on to that. Because, you know, as we all know, sophomore, junior year is the most critical years for AAU, right? A lot of things could happen during those years. And especially when you get an opportunity to try out, you know, play for top programs, you might have done well, phenomenal where you're at. But, you know, at the end of the day, you go to these big programs, there's talent everywhere. You got to humble yourself, right? But you also can't lose belief in you know, who you are as a player, who you are as a person. And you got to be ready because you never know when that opportunity, you know, is going to present itself. And that's why I love about that. And it is, man. It's really a top program, and the fact that you were able to, you know, to flourish, and they were actually, you know, able to be a, you know, a big part of your, you know, of your journey is just a huge blessing. Talk to me about the, how do you feel, and what do you feel, what impact do you feel that they had when it came to your recruitment and overall exposure?
Hey, quick break here. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we'll get right back to it. I just wanted to take a moment to talk about Hardwood Palace, Northern California's premier basketball facility. Hardwood Palace has 8 hardwood courts, a full-service cafe, and a reputation for reliable and quality programs. Extreme Hoops runs the largest weekly AAU tournament in the area with a variety of competitions from all over California and Nevada. They also offer a youth league, Hardwood Hoops, which is rec level and runs 4 seasons a year for individuals looking to be placed on the team. Check out HardwoodPalace.com to see all they have to offer. You can follow them on Instagram at Extreme_Hoops_basketball or contact Steve Williams by emailing Steve@HardwoodPalace.com. Get your hoops on at the Hardwood Palace.
I think they had a big impact. Of course, like, everyone there is a top player, of course, but I think they just hold weight because they have so many players who are going Pac-12, they have players in the NBA, so their word like holds a lot of value to a lot of people. So sometimes people say it's not always about what you know, it's about who you know. And I mean, the whole organization knows a lot of people, they know so much, and they fill us with all of it, actually, though. They don't try to hide it from us. When we have these team camps and we'll have meetings, and they'll talk to us about, like, the situations. They'll talk to us about how stuff becomes a business, and they'll just tell us how, like, we need to get ready for it. So I think they just fill us with so much more than basketball. They fill us with a lot of community. They fill us with a lot of grace. I mean, you could be playing with the number one player in the nation, and if you see Ato, he's still going to treat you like you're that guy. Like, he never treats anyone with disrespect, unless he's disrespected, of course, but he shows so much love to all of us. Like I said, he shows so much love to my family. He shows so much love to my mom. He's always in contact with her. If she ever reaches out, he's quick to answer. All of them are just super supportive. They all want the best for us. And I mean, like I said, I just really appreciate them.
It sounds like a top class organization from top to bottom, and not, like, definitely. I said, not, and most importantly, not just, you know, what they do for you know, young scholar athletes on the court, but also off the court, and, like I said, in the preparation, and just really overall, just relationship. You know, it's just a relationship that just continues even after you know, you stop playing for them.
Definitely.
Let me ask you this then, from a competition standpoint, would you say the best competition that you faced was while you were playing for them?
I would definitely say some of the best competition I faced was with playing with them. Of course, we play like a national schedule, but I would say when we did get a chance to practice, I feel like that kind of really prepared me for my senior year. I was thinking, going into my senior year, I kind of, I was filled with a lot of confidence because I was working out, of course, but I also knew, like, I was competing with people who were top in my class. So I was like, if I could compete with them, then I know I can compete with anybody. So I think even some of that confidence that I gained with competing with them last year is still kind of going into this year, just because I understood that I was playing with some of the best or the highest ranked people in my class, and I was competing, holding my own. I know that wherever I go, I can compete. So that brought me a lot of confidence, and that was definitely something that I was really, like, thankful for going into my senior year. Not saying, like, Sacramento competition is bad, but I just knew, like, okay, if I could compete with these guys, then I know I can compete with anybody.
No, sometimes a lot of the, especially with these top organizations, the best competition is actually in-house, right? Yeah. I mean, there's so much talent that the battles against each other is the biggest test. So when you go out there and play opponents, that's actually a little bit easier. I can definitely see that. Let me ask you this. What were some of the top tournaments, maybe some of the top teams or players that you got to play against, if you can remember any on top of your head?
We played some good people. I don't really remember all the names because I'm not really big on that. Like, I was never checking the rankings every day or stuff like that. You just happen to hear somebody say like, oh, he's ranked. One of the names I do know was this guy. His name was Max Lewis. He played with Dream Vision, and I think he's at Pepperdine now. And then he was just, I think he was like one of the freshman conference players. Like, he was a all conference player as a freshman. So that's one of the names I do remember. But growing up, like, I played like a lot of people. Like, I played Kennedy Chandler before. I played with and against Ty Ty Washington. I played against Paulo. I played against a lot of good players. I played against a lot of good players even before I got to Compton Magic. Not trying to backtrack, but I had played with West Coast All-Stars after I played with 916. So I played with West Coast All-Stars maybe all the way up until like eighth grade. So rest in peace to Coach Mike, you know. But I played a lot of top players playing with him. I played a lot of top players playing with him.
So let me ask you this. I caught on. So if you played with them till eighth grade, and I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't start with Compton Magic till your junior year. Who did you play with in between those times?
In between those times, I just played with kind of anybody. I had played with anybody, honestly. Just whoever I could play with. Like, during COVID, I was just trying to play games. I was working out so much, but I was like, I want to play, so.
Gotcha.
I played with Nate's team. Nate had made a little team with all the people we worked out with. I played with them. Who else? I used to play with, I don't know if you know him, but Reggie Lee. He's not even an organization. We would just get jerseys and we would all meet up, all friends, and we would just all play together. So.
Okay. Nah, hey, it's all good. So, sounds like you were battle tested. You got to play, you know, top competition, even, you know, before Compton Magic. Obviously, with Compton Magic, you got competition immediately, even when it came to, you know, in house within the organization. Actually, you know, you put yourself against the top of the top, even ever since you're younger. Obviously, we just started off the podcast earlier with, you know, some top names that, you know, that ended up being top players. So that sounds great, man. Let's pivot and let's get into your time with Grant. And as a Pacer, you know, before we get into that, if someone, you know, hasn't seen you play, how would you describe your game?
I would describe my game as a leader on and off the court, a hard worker, a dog, like you said, like, lead the game in multiple ways. If I'm not scoring, I'm gonna pick up. I'll guard the best player. I'll get my teammates involved. I just think, like, if someone is watching me, they're gonna think he's just a really good player because he's a dog. Like, I just have a mindset that I want to win at all costs. So whatever it takes, really. I think everybody who's ever watched me or played against me, like, can tell. Like, I really just want to win. I really want to win. So I think that's the biggest thing. I'm just a whatever it takes guy.
Absolutely. When I saw you play, I saw a player that the team respected, the team actually more than respected, the team relied on as their quarterback, as their leader, you know, per se, and they didn't care about stats. I truly don't think you cared about whether you scored, you know, a 30 piece or you scored five, you know, as long as you got the win, as long as you did what you had to do to put your teammates in position to be successful. I saw you as an extension of your coach, you know, on the court. The body language spoke volumes, man. I love your body language on the court. I always tell people that you really were very even keel. You know, Dame Lillard likes what I say, you know, you can't tell if you're having a good game or bad game, which is what you need. You know, you need that from a point guard. You need that from a leader. So yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate description of your game. Freshman year, I know you played some JV ball, as well as you got to spend some time at varsity, you know, with the likes of Stephen Corey and the rest of that crew. Talk to me about that experience, you know, freshman year, you know, starting off at JV, and obviously, you know, playing with your, you know, your big bros, you know, at times during the season?
So before I had became a freshman at Grant, like I said, like in eighth grade, I had played with the varsity. So I played with varsity all the way probably until like the first league game of JV. But my first official game in high school was a varsity game. I played in the NorCal tip-off against Bishop O'Dowd. So that was my first varsity game, or like my first official high school game. But playing with JV was good, I think, for just my confidence. Because I went to JV and I probably averaged like 30. I was able to like do what I wanted and kind of lead the team. So I think playing with JV was, it was good. It was fun. But I think it was just good for me because I was playing. We had a talk, me and Coach Denard, before the season even started. We had sat down. It was him, Coach Stone, I think Coach Rondo, and my mom and me. And he just asked me, like, well, would you rather play JV and you play the whole game, you score, you do what you want, or would you like to play on varsity and maybe get 2 to 3 minutes a quarter? And I was just like, well, I'd rather play JV. I'd rather play. So that experience, it was good just to be playing. Like, I didn't really want to wait. Not saying that I was impatient. And I know you need to wait your turn, but I was just like, I don't really want to wait and watch games when I could be playing.
Everybody has different takes on that. For me personally, I feel like court time is precedent. You know, I think you can't replace court time. I know the counter to that is, hey, you know, being able to practice and battle against, you know, the varsity, you know, players makes you better, yeah. which I agree with. But I think it's a fine line, because at the end of the day, is that going to translate when the game really counts? You know, are you going to be able to do that? So I think confidence.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. Well, like you said, the whole year, though, I practiced with varsity. Like, I never practiced with JV. I just played with them. But Monday through Thursday, or whenever we would have a game, I was practicing with varsity. So, like I said.
You got the best of both worlds then. You got the best of both. Gotcha. Well, I think that's good. And obviously, because I think freshman year, I think the most important thing for a player is to gain confidence, you know, and belief, and be able to obviously show themselves that they can be successful. And the fact that actually that sounds like a winning formula for you, the fact that you were able to get both. I mean, you got the best of both worlds, being able to battle with the varsity and then obviously play JV. You said you put up 30 a game. Is that what you're doing at JV?
Yeah. So it was nice to be able to practice with varsity every day, because I just knew that, like, that was my level of competition. Like, okay, I could tell, like, okay, JV, this is not going to be forever. So practicing with varsity for the whole year, it was really good.
Gotcha. Sophomore year, obviously your role changed. You played it, you know, you played a part on that great run that, you know, sophomore year. Talk to me about that role that you played on that team that I believe won the sections, correct?
Yeah, we had won our section championship sophomore year, and I think sophomore year was like good. It was kind of hard just because, like you said, we had two guards, like we had AJ and Corey, kind of already as guards, so it was kind of hard just on the offensive aspect. But like defensively, I was just picking up. I was like, that's how I'm going to impact the game. So I was picking up full court. I was guarding whoever was the best guard. I was guarding them sophomore year. So I think that was good for me. Like, it kind of taught me like how to play off the ball a little. It was hard though. Like, I would have a lot of conversations with my mom, or I would have conversations with Coach Denard even for practice. Like, when we have practice, can we make it to where it's like we have three teams and it's each just one guard on each team, and we scrimmage like that? Because it was just hard for me to like feel like I was getting going like without the ball in my hands. Not saying that the ball always needs to be in my hands, but I just always wanted to compete against them. I didn't really want to be on the same team as them. Not saying that like I didn't love them or they weren't good teammates, but I just wanted to compete against them to see where I was really at.
No, that makes perfect sense. And as well as I love the fact that you found other ways to impact the game, you know, and you found whether it be on a defensive end. And you're right, for someone that's used to, I mean, it is what it is, you know, ball dominant, the ball in your hand. It's an adjustment when you don't have that, right? Because that's what you are. You're a playmaker. You're accustomed to having the ball in your hands. I mean, I consider you a pass first point guard. So, and, you know, playing off the ball is definitely an adjustment. Junior year obviously was limited because of COVID, unfortunately, but you were able, you know, senior year, you're able to finish out strong. Had a very special group that you got to close out your high school career with fellow seniors, you know, Luca, Josh, Rashad. If I missed somebody, I apologize on that, but I know those were, you know, obviously your fellow three starters, along with yourself, they were seniors, along with, Bobo is the fifth starter. Mm-hmm. But for the record, I'm going to tell you this. I feel like you were the player that, I don't know. I just feel like you got credit. Don't get me wrong. You got a lot of accolades, but I still think you were a little slept on, man. Cause I think I honestly feel like you were more important to your team than any other player out there. Cause like I said, I think you were the glue. You're the one that made everything, you know, run. But talk to me about that senior year and, you know, being able to have that, you know, phenomenal senior year with, you know, with your brothers there and closing out strong, especially after having to deal with COVID your junior year.
Yeah. Well, first I wouldn't say like I was the most important. Of course, it takes all five of us to win. And I think we all just took on our roles. I'm not going to say that because
by the way, hey, for the record, anybody out there listening, that's me saying that, hey, I'm I respect all the young fellas game. Rashad was, you know, a bucket. Luca did his thing. I mean, everybody, you know, everybody did his thing. Josh to me was like, what's my guy's, the Joker, you know, that guy, he plays like the Joker to me. He was nice too. I'm just saying on that team, there's always someone that brings everybody together and makes sure. Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously keeps it running smooth. That's all I'm saying, but go ahead, continue. But for the record, that's straight hand that said that. J-Rock did say that, straight hand said that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just making that clear because I don't want to put my guys under the bus, but I mean, I just feel like we all kind of bought in. Before season started, we had went to like some tournaments, and in the beginning, I can't lie, we were bad. Like, I don't think, the only people who really believed that we would win a section championship was us. I don't even know if our coaches really believed it, honestly. So it was just like a big adjustment for everyone. Even for me, everyone's role changed kind of fast. Like, we played a couple of games during our junior year with COVID, but everyone's role changed kind of fast. Like you said, like, I was playing with two guards in front of me. So now I was the primary guard. And then Rashad, Bobo, Luca just transferred, Josh, everyone had to grow up kind of fast. So at first it was kind of rough for all of us, kind of just taking a whole year off. You know, you're only really working out by yourself, if you're even working out. Some people, you know, aren't even working out, but you're working out by yourself a lot. So when you get with a team aspect, you're looking for your shots, you know, you're trying to see if what you were working on really got you better. So the first couple of tournaments, this is like in the summer, not before season, the first couple of tournaments were kind of rough for us. We would go back and forth. We would argue. We really didn't know. And then just more and more as season came, we started to click and we really started to get close. And then I remember, we had just started to know, like, we were good, like, even before the season, like, we knew we could do something. So we would practice hard. We would never be on the same teams either. I don't think during practice me and Rashad ever played on the same team. So, like, we competed against each other really hard. We played against each other really hard. Not saying, like, we fought, but words were definitely exchanged before the season happened. So It'll be a lot of back and forth, but just once the season came, we were so excited. We were so excited to show everyone. Like, we just felt like underdogs as a team, not even as individuals, but just as a team, we felt like we were underdogs. Like, we saw all the rankings coming out. We saw how everyone looked at all the other teams and how everyone put everyone above us. So we just came out hungry. Like, we came out hungry. Like, last year we did some crazy stuff. We blew out some really top teams. No disrespect to those teams, but like, we beat like Bandon by like 30. We beat Western Ranch by like 40. Mm. We just were ready to play. So I had a mirror kind of with like all my goals for the season. And my first goal was section champ. I wanted to come back and be a section champ. And people talked about Elk Grove so much. People said Elk Grove was better than us the whole year. The whole summer, people said Elk Grove was better than us. And we knew to get to the section championship, we had to play Elk Grove. Either to win or to get there, we knew we had to play them. So that was our biggest thing. Our biggest thing was basically getting to that point where we get to play Elk Grove, because we knew that was our chance to really show everyone like how good we were. Everyone kind of gave them all the glory. No matter what they did, they got all the glory. So I think when we beat them, that was kind of when we put people on notice, which is kind of late. It's definitely late, but I don't think people really kind of knew how good we were till we played that game. And we beat them at Elk Grove. I don't think people really respected us till then. And they're like, oh, wow, Grant can play now. But I think we had all knew. Like I said, like in practice, we competed. We exchanged words. We kept all our stuff on the court, though. Out of that, like, we're brothers. Like, even till this day, like, we still all talk. We still text. We still all check up on each other, see how each other is doing. But like you said, like, last year was definitely something special. Like, looking back, it was definitely something special that I'm really thankful for.
That's crazy to me, though, that people weren't on notice sooner. You guys went 25-4. Obviously, you know, one league, you know, 11-1. Obviously, beat a fellow senior heavy team in Elk Grove, like you said, at their home, right, in Elk Grove. Shout out my boy Tori, who's the assistant coach over there, and Dustin. I had Amir on the pod as well. Shout out that Elk Grove team, which was a, you know, obviously a great team that, you know, that had a great run this year as well. But yeah, that was a dope victory, and you guys did it in a, you know, and with the hostile crowd. The thing you got to understand is that Elk Grove gym is the smallest gym in Elk Grove, probably one of the smallest gyms in Sacramento. Let's just be honest, right? But it's tough to play in there. And you know, one of the rims is different, you know, different size. You know, one, I don't know which side, the right or left side. I think you know which one I'm talking about. It's different, yeah. Right? It's different. And for you guys, I remember that does play a factor. So for people out there listening, like, what is he talking about? No, that plays a factor. That's their home court. They're used to that, right? You guys aren't used to that. Those are stuff that you got to make an adjustment in game and during a big game at that. That plays a factor in like I said, if that's what it took for people to, to be cognizant, to recognize what a great team you guys are, I mean, so be it. But you guys, like I said, had a great, you know, great run. You guys played basketball, so, you know, very unselfish, played as a team. Everybody knew their roles and flourished at their roles. And it was just a beautiful thing to see. And the community was great. Like your guys', your fan base was great. Obviously, you know, your mom, you know, he was always present. I got to give a shout out to Tasha, you know, obviously Luca's mom. That's like the dynamic duo, right? That's the best mom combo in basketball in the 916, right?
It's the dynamic duo.
A dynamic duo for sure. So, like I said, honestly, it was an epic run, epic way to end your high school career. Let me ask you this. You mentioned some of the highlights, which is, you know, going to war, you know, obviously having those battles at practices, beating Elk Grove, which is something you guys had your eyes set on. And let me ask you this, what were some of your biggest takeaways or lessons that you took from your coaches while at Grant?
Hey, quick break here. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we'll get right back to it. Are you sick and tired of that heart-sinking feeling every time you get your electricity bill? Do you wish there was some way to join in the revolution of solar power without leaving your wallet begging for mercy? Luckily for you, there's a way to achieve both. At Sunray Solar, we're here to use our unrivaled expertise in high-quality equipment to deliver beyond your expectations. We pride ourselves on keeping up to date with the latest global innovations, guaranteeing long-lasting performance, reliability, and seamless integration with your home. Solar energy just doesn't save the planet, it saves you from that heart-sinking feeling of increasing utility rates year to year. So what are you waiting for? Start putting your money back in your pocket today. Reach out to Daniel today and find out how to cut your electricity bill in half. Mention Straight Talk with Strahan and receive a $500 cash rebate. Call Daniel with Sunray Solar at 872-238-9319 or email him at daniel@sunrays.solar or message him on IG at solardan1. Power your home with the sun's rays today.
I think they just taught us a lot about kind of like having each other's back, you know? When people look at Grant, people have so much to say, so much negative to say. And they kind of teach us, like, we're all we got. Like, of course, we have our community and our fan base. But when we go these places, like, we're all we got. And we have to be on our best behavior. People expect us to be acting out. People expect us to be rowdy. So I feel like Coach Denard emphasized a lot on kind of, like, being a class act. Like, us having sweatsuits. Us all, you know, having the same shoes, us all kind of looking together, us having our last names on our back, like showing us that we are important, you know? A lot of people look down upon Grant, try to say, like, they don't have this, they don't have that. So our coaches really, really do a lot for us, honestly. I don't really know too many high schools that do as much as Grant does for their kids. Just looking out, really, really doing whatever we need them to do, honestly. Being basically another parent when we're at school. So our coaches, I'm very thankful for going to Grant, just having that connection with all my coaches. But yeah, Coach Denard, that's my guy. Like I said, I talk to him every day, and I mean, that's definitely someone who I would tell other people to play for. Now, of course, everyone has their own preference, but me personally, if I was to do high school again, I would play for Coach Denard again.
Man, that's beautiful, bro. I mean, the fact that, you know, you can just feel the love that you have and the love you have for them and the love that you receive just based on that answer. And the fact that, you know, they were able to help you, you know, mold into great men, right? Not just basketball players, but into great men, and prepared you, you know, obviously to step out in this world once you left them. It speaks volumes about the school, Grant, and the program, Coach Denard, and everybody else involved, man. That was great. Let's close out and talk about your new chapter that you just started at Bethune-Cookman, and, you know, how that came to fruition. Talk to me about the recruitment process. When it comes to the school, you know, when did they start recruiting you? And what was it about the school that, you know, made you commit to them?
Okay, so I probably didn't start getting recruited to, like, my last tournament with Compton Magic. We had a tournament in LA, and this was, like, a last tournament. And then Dylan Andrews, he played with us. He didn't come to the tournament. Or I think Kajani, they both didn't come because I think they had to go to, like, the USA camp or something. So they both didn't come. So I had played a lot again this time. I had played a lot the whole weekend, and there happened to be coaches there, and I had a really good weekend, like a really, really good weekend. So then the weekend was over, and then kind of started getting back to school, getting ready to go back to school. And then we just kind of started talking. I started talking to Coach Ricks. He's not here anymore now, but I started talking to him. And then Atope, Compton Magic, the director, was just kind of vouching for me. He was just saying what type of player I was, how a hard worker I was. And stuff just started to happen. Of course, I was playing good, though. Like, I was getting a lot of people, a lot of schools that are D2 schools, like reaching out, of course. But that was my dream, of course, as a kid, you know, to be a Division I basketball player. So when the opportunity had happened and it was like, I mean, you can come out here and you can play and it's no cost, I was like, I'm ready to do it. So I think that at first it was hard. At first it was hard for me just, you know, not knowing what was going to happen, being very uncertain. And I was like, man, like, I don't know. But I just kept working. That's all I can say, though. Like, through all of it, through all the uncertainty, I just kept working. And I just had a lot of faith. Like, I had a lot of faith all this work would pay off one way. And I felt like it had already paid off winning the section championship. So I knew it was going to happen. But I think I committed before season even started. So when everything happened and I committed, it kind of was even – it was kind of a relief, like, okay, I could just play now. Like, you know, some people go into their senior year with nothing really going on. So it's like, oh, I have to play for this. And sometimes it kind of hurts them because you start to play selfish or you start to feel like, oh, a coach is looking for me to do this. So this is what I need to do. But I had committed before season even started. So I've already had my goals, though, but it wasn't really big on my mind to be like, oh, I have to do this or I won't go anywhere, you know?
Yeah, it gave you a peace of mind. You obviously went to your senior year knowing you were, you know, blessed and fortunate enough to have, you know, a D1 scholarship, you know, offered to you. You knew where your next step was. And not too many people, let's just be honest, as talented as Sacramento was, you know, last year, I mean they're loaded, we're loaded this year too, but I mean, as talented as it was, how many seniors from this past year could say they had a D1 scholarship, you know, already going into their senior year? Not too many, right? Let's just be honest. Not too many. And, you know, I've had a plethora of, you know, the top talent on my podcast, but that wasn't the case. There was still something that they were, you know, they were still, I mean, not like you weren't grinding, but they were still grinding for that because they didn't have that. And I like the fact that, like you said, it was during your last tournament or one of your last tournaments that the exposure, that recruitment started. So it's not like it happened immediately. You know, you just had to keep that faith, keep that belief, and keep, you know, like you said, keep working. So, that was definitely, you know, good to hear. Talk to me about your thoughts about playing, you know, for Coach Reggie Theus. Let me ask you this, and be honest: did you know much about Coach's playing days at all?
To be honest, no, I did not know. People started to tell me.
Trust me, because you know, I mean, because obviously he's older, but still, it's very rare that you play for a coach that played 13 seasons in the NBA, two-time All-Star, averaged over 18 points a game, and obviously, you know, some of those great 13 years was here in Sacramento with the Kings. So, you know, how has it been? I'm not sure how much, you know, obviously what the interaction has been or the relationship been with Coach. How has that been so far?
It's been pretty good so far. He's our school's athletic director, so a lot of times he happens to be busy, but when he's in the gym, like, it's good. He's limited right now, of course, you know, NCAA rules and off-season stuff, so he's not really around us as much, but when he is around, it's always good vibes. I don't, like I said, like, I never really knew who he was till people started to tell me. But I mean, it's cool that he at least knows about Sacramento. Being all the way out here, many people don't know. People would think when I say like California, they think LA or Hollywood or something like that. So at least he knows about Sacramento.
No, that is true. That's a nice commonality that you two have. So, you know, he'll be able to obviously relate to you when it comes to certain things, you know, being here in Sacramento, even though, you know, I'm pretty sure Sacramento is a lot different than when he was here. But no, that's pretty cool. No, that's pretty cool. And then I know this is something when I saw it, I messaged you, you know, last week on, you guys picked up a nice little transfer in Zion Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about that?
I think that's really good. I haven't really got a chance to, like, really talk or hang out with them yet just because, you know, school is starting and everything. But I think that's really good, and I hope our team is successful with it, and I hope we all create a really good bond going on.
No, I think it's just good when you have a top talent like that. I believe she was a 4-star at a high school, that you guys are able to, you know, attract players like that, obviously, to ready go along with the a very talented group already. Well, listen, man, I mean, I definitely look forward to, you know, seeing you have a monster college career, you know, and beyond. Just got two more questions here, two more things I want to go over before we end up in with rapid fire Q&A, which I end all my episodes with, is, one, we have discussed or mentioned her throughout this podcast. You know, talk to me about just the relationship, you know, do you have with your mom, and her role when it comes, you know, to everything you are right now, or always have been, or your guys' relationship.
Well, my mom has always been like my best friend. I talk to my mom about everything, even to this day. You know, I'm supposed to be growing into a man. I still ask her for advice. I ask her how to think about things. She's just like one of the biggest role models I have in my life. I really appreciate my mom. A lot of people tell me like, wow, man, like you're blessed to have a mom like you do. And I appreciate it, but I already know that, like, not trying to be cocky or anything, but I just know my mom holds so much value, not even to me. Like, she holds value to a lot of people. Like you said, like, you hear my mom at all the games. You hear my mom at all the games. My mom is not just cheering for me. She's cheering for Rashad. She's cheering for Bobo. She's cheering for Josh. She's cheering for Lucas. She's cheering for Little Dad. She's cheering for Zay. She's cheering for our whole team. And that's just the type of person she is. Like, of course, my relationship with her is the strongest, but she still looks at everyone as if they're her son or something like that. Like, my mom always takes care of whoever. So I think without my mom, you know, a lot of stuff would be different in my life, at least, just because the stuff she's taught me that, I mean, of course you could learn on your own, but at an early age, I kind of knew some of this stuff and it just carried me to where I am now. She always emphasized like no one was going to do anything for you. You know, you got to work hard. You know, people can't look at your face and tell how you feel. Like, you kind of got to be emotionless in this sport. And that was something that I learned at a very young age, because I used to definitely wear my emotions on my sleeve. I would just be like so competitive. I would cry after we lose, or I would be trying to yell at my teammates and like all this type of stuff. And my mom just taught me like, you know, that stuff you can't control. So my mom is definitely like a big part of my life, even to this day. Actually, during this, she had just called me. So after this, I'll call her back. But yeah, my mom is definitely one of the most influential people in my life.
Gotcha, man. Now, hey, honestly, seeing you two bond is it's a beautiful thing. It's inspiring, honestly, to see, you know, obviously a parent child that close. And you make a good point. I had no idea who her son was, you know, like you alluded to. She was as enthusiastic about a Rashad bucket as a Luka bucket. Josh, you know, like, I never knew, you know, who her son was, you know, for a while. I had to put that together, but you're right. She showed that, you know, love to everybody, right? That's beautiful, yeah, man. But
even to other teams, like, yeah, growing up, my mom even showed love to other teams. I mean, Zay, Amari, Barrick, any player who she sees has talent, she's not a hater. She's going to show love to everybody. So
I love that, man. Last question, like I said, before we end with rapid fire Q&A, very generic question that I asked, but I believe in speaking life and death. You speak life and death with your tongue. I believe in speaking life into, obviously, your goals and what's going to actually happen, speak it into existence. What are your, I guess here, you know, what we'll do, do a little bit different. What are your, what is J-Rock's goals for freshman year and your college career? Let's just leave it at that. I usually ask throughout, but what's some goals for you for your freshman year and your college career?
For freshman year, my goal really is just to get on the floor, get playing time. I mean, you can't envision stats or accolades. So my goal is just to get on the floor. And then once I get on the floor, of course, with opportunity, I could be able to prove myself and I could show what I can do. So that's my goal as a freshman. But my goal for college, I kind of need to sit down and think about my goals so far. I mean, really, I've been focusing on just learning who I am, really. This is kind of outside of basketball, but I've just been trying to focus on like who I really am as a person. You know, on your own, you have time to think, you have time to look back, and you kind of see how you choose your way in life. So that's what I've been really focusing on right now. Like, of course, I know I'm going to get in the gym. Of course, I know I'm going to do my schoolwork. But I'm really just trying to figure out, like, who I am. Of course, everyone knows me as J-Rock. I went to Grant. But I just want to figure out who I am as a man. So
personal development, It's personal development. It's an ongoing journey. You should never stop that, you know. And you're right. I mean, you're different environment, you know, out on your own. You're probably by yourself more than ever before, right? You know, and you're able to, you know, I always tell people, the person you talk to the most is yourself. That's that self-talk, right? Which is a good and bad thing sometimes, especially when you're not accustomed to having so much time to talk to that person, you know? So I can definitely see that all happening. Obviously your freshman year here. Well, let's go ahead and end with some fun rapid fire Q&A, just real quick. First thing that pops in your head, nothing too deep. So first one, what's your go-to move?
Between cross.
Who's currently your favorite NBA player and who's your favorite NBA player of all time?
My current favorite NBA player, Chris Paul. And then my favorite player of all time, I can't really say, but my favorite player used to be Derrick Rose before he got hurt. That was my favorite player.
D Rose. Okay, I like it. I like to ask to see young fellas just to see what you guys say. MJ or LBJ?
Michael Jordan.
Okay. Trey or Ja?
Trey Young or Ja Morant?
Yeah.
Trey Young.
Ooh, okay. Favorite point guard of all time?
Chris Paul or Allen Iverson. If you count him as a point guard, some people say he's a two guard, so.
He's a two. I still think he's pound for pound the greatest scorer in NBA history. on the way to the gym, on the way to a workout, to practice, whatever it may be today, whatever it is, what's your go-to song or what's your go-to album that's in your AirPods and your Beats? What do you listen to right now?
I listen to any Raw Wave. It doesn't matter what album.
Hey, Raw get you hype for the gym, though? Okay. Okay. All right. We already talked about it. I'll skip through this one because we kind of went and talked about it when it comes to advice. Let's ask you anyways. Best advice, if you had to break it down to one advice, what's the best advice your mom gave you?
If I had to break it down to one advice my mom gave me, it was probably you got to work for everything. There's no handouts.
All right, J-Rock. Last question, brother. I appreciate you for this. For being on, but last question is, number one advice you have for aspiring athletes, for the people out there that, you know, obviously a young fellow, we didn't even mention this, but what are you saying at J-Rock? What, 5'8", 5'9"? Am I shortchanging you? 5'10"? Where are you at? 5'8", 5'9"?
Yeah, I could probably say 5'9". I don't know. Okay. I think I got a little taller. That's what they told me when I came back.
Okay, we'll say 5'10". All right, 5'9", 5'10". Obviously, you're still small guard, right? For someone that's been able to, you know, play for one of the top programs, Compton Magic, obviously play for a class act organization and great program like Grant, that took two section titles. Obviously now it's on at a top HBCU, D1 full ride scholarship. So I mentioned all that, you know, just to say, you know, I always feel like one definition of success, which is my favorite definition of success, is find someone that has what you want and have them show you how they did it. So obviously, you know, you have credentials, to me, you are able to speak from a power of strength because you accomplished all this. All that being said, what's the number one advice you have for aspiring basketball players out there that want to take it to the next level? I guess more specifically for high school players that want to, continue their career to the college level.
I would say just don't listen to the critics. People all have an opinion on you. Don't listen to the critics. Just keep working. Because at the end of the day, that's what shows up. The opinions, all that goes out the door. When you get on the 94 feet, the work is what shows up. So just stay in the gym. Keep working.
Man, J-Rock, Jason Matthews, man, I appreciate you for coming on the pod, bro. I mean, you definitely, you know, deliver some great content, value, entertainment for sure. I think people are going to be able to get, you know, get to know you a little bit better, but as well as, I mean, get a lot of gems from this episode, man. And like I said, I just want you, I know we had a time difference and everything else. So I just want to thank you for, you know, coming on the pod today and blessing us, man.
No problem. I appreciate you for having me.
All right, guys, for the rest of you guys out there, continue having a blessed day. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Straight Talk with Straight Hand. God bless, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to another Straight Talk with Straight Hand podcast. And if you haven't done so already, click the subscribe button and make sure to follow him on Instagram at Straight Hand, Strayhand. And we will catch you on the next episode.